Man, I appreciate that special. I love that song. And it ought to be the cry of our heart every moment of every day. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We've been here in this area of Matthew, and also parts of this account are found in Luke and Mark, and parts of it are not. The verse we're going to look at tonight is not found in the other accounts. It's only here in Matthew's account. But I want to just focus in on one verse tonight, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. And if you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of the Word of God. I want to talk to you this evening about their angels in heaven. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, Jesus says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I pray that you give us understanding of your word. I pray that you would convert our hearts, Lord, and help us to have compassion towards others, to look not on our own things only, but to look on the things of others also. Help us to have compassion for one another and consideration. Help us to be careful not to be an offense to anyone, especially the young ones who are young physically, the young ones who are young spiritually. Lord, help us to be an encouragement and a help. Lord, forgive our sin and help us tonight. Help me to preach exactly what you'd have me to, the way you'd have me to. Lord, I pray that you would change us by your word. And Lord, as we look at the grace that you've given to give us angels that have ministering service over us, Lord, just help us to rejoice that you care for us so greatly. And the resources that you give for our benefit, we give you thanks and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about the angels that God has given charge and the caution that he gives about them and the care that they have for us. Notice first the caution that he gives. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. This phrase, take heed, means literally to discern clearly. It's the idea of beholding or perceiving or looking. And so there's an evaluation that needs to take place. When we go on visitation or door knocking, soul winning outreach, whatever you want to call it, many times as we go from house to house, we come to yards that have a sign on their gate that says, "Beware of the dog." When I come to one of those yards, I don't do like Brother Steve Spires and just skip over it and pray for him. But what I do is I rattle the gate, and I wait a minute. And even then, I'm cautious when we open the gate to go to the door, and I'm very cautious to look around because I'm taking heed. I'm watching for Fido to come out from behind a bush and bite me. Everybody with me? And so I'm taking heed. I'm being aware. I'm using caution. And that's what the Lord's telling us here, that we need to take heed concerning these little ones. We need to watch out. We need to be careful. We need to see the little ones. Now, the little ones we've talked about the last few weeks are little ones literally, physically, because Jesus took a small child and he set him with him and he said, "You need to be like this little child." But it's not just a little child physically, because he said you need to become like a little child to be saved. So we're talking about those who are new in Christ. And we need to be careful about children, and we need to be careful about new believers in the faith. I believe that many new converts, or those who are newly saved, babes in Christ, if you will, I believe many of them have been turned away from the faith because of older believers in the faith who have not been careful. We need to take heed concerning those little ones. You see the evaluation and then you see the estimation. He says that you despise not. That you despise not one of these little ones. to despise, that phrase, that ye despise, means to disesteem. In other words, when we have esteem for someone, we hold them in high regard or high value. And to despise them means to disesteem them, to under-evaluate them, to value them or price them lower than they should be. I want you to know today that children are precious in the sight of God. I want you to know tonight that not only are children precious in the sight of God, but new believers in Christ are precious in the sight of God. Some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Some of you have been saved so long you forget what it's like to be a new Christian. I want to help you out tonight. You can't expect somebody that's been saved for just a little while to know everything. Some have been saved greater than 30 years and you don't know everything. Some people have been saved for a long time, act like they don't know anything either. And we need to be cautious, to take heed and evaluate, because whether it's a young person physically, a child, like we have these precious children here tonight, and you saw them up here singing, they're valuable, and we need to hold them in high regard, and we need to be careful with them and how we lead them and teach them, and that we don't cause them to sin against God by our actions and by our attitude. In the same way, we need to be careful with new Christians, people who haven't been saved very long. We need to understand that they're babes in Christ and they need the milk of the Word of God and they have to grow, and we need to love them where they are. We need to be careful that we don't despise them. We need to have a right estimation of them so we don't despise them, but rather we esteem them highly, that we would have compassion, that we would love them where they are in their walk with Christ. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." We need to have a heart for other people. Here's the sad thing to me many times, though. Oftentimes, it's the ones who've been in the church the longest, the ones who've been in the church long enough that they ought to know better, they're the ones that act more like babes in Christ than babes in Christ do. The time you ought to be teachers, you have need of the milk again. I can't give you strong meat because you haven't exercised yourself to godliness. You haven't grown up in the faith. And so we need to love people where they're at, but friends, there is an expectation of growth. When a baby is born, we rejoice. Amen. Amen? At least grandparents do. When a baby is born, the parents rejoice, the family rejoices, the church rejoices, and the baby's there in the hospital for a day or two, and they send them home, and they want them to come back in a couple of weeks for a checkup. And one of the first things they do is weigh the baby to see if the baby has gained any weight, because if the baby isn't gaining weight, there may be trouble. And if the baby continues to not gain weight, or the baby loses weight after that first couple of weeks in the first month or two, they figure out that something's wrong, because we expect babies to grow. Amen. Amen? And babes in Christ are expected to grow too. And one of the ways that we do that is by having compassion on them and loving them where they're at and helping them and being courteous to them. He says, one of these little ones. So what's he talking about? We'll just rewind back to verse 3. Matthew 18 and verse 3, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So who are these little ones? Well, it's the little ones who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to take heed that we despise them not. So we see the caution that he gives about these little ones, and then notice the care that they have of the angels. Jesus says, the reasoning is, I say unto you that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. I want you to know that these little ones have angels in heaven. Now, most of you have heard of guardian angels, right? Amen. And most of us have this idea that there are guardian angels, and a lot of times people have a lapel pin with a guardian angel, or they have a little angel that they clip on their visor in their car or something like that to remind them that they have a guardian angel. Now, I don't know that the scriptures tell us that in particular God assigns an angel to each one of us. As a matter of fact, I think the Bible tells us something even greater, that there's a host of angels that are watching out for us. I want you to know that it's an absolute fact that these little ones have angels in heaven, because the Bible says, Jesus said, "For I say unto you." Can I just remind you very quickly tonight that the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, is absolute truth? Isn't that good? You know, sometimes when you talk to somebody and they tell you something, you don't know if you can believe it or not. As a matter of fact, there's some people you know that when they're talking in general, you don't believe what they're saying. Anybody know somebody like that? Stop looking at other people in the church. Some of you trying not to point right now. There's some people that I know, and I love them. God love them. But when they're telling stories, I figure it's just that, a story. But when Jesus Christ speaks, it's absolute truth. I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God and we can trust in the Word of God. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." I love what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, the churches of Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." When we came preaching and we preached to you the word of God, you didn't just say, "Hey, that's the word of the Apostle Paul," or "That's the word of Luke," or "That's the word of some other." No, this is, in fact, the word of God. Amen. What a joy to know that we have the true word of God. And Jesus said, "For I say unto you." I've known some people who want to debate about angels and the way that they minister and the way that God uses them in working with us and ministering to us. And they say that that's nonsense and they don't believe in that kind of stuff. But I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus says that these little ones have angels. They have angels. You notice the possessive, that they are their angels. And I want you to know that they are angels and they work in the work of God. We could spend all night going through the entire Bible and how angels have ministered in the earth for the Lord throughout the scriptures. But let me just remind you of a few from the New Testament, particularly in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." It was angels who attended the birth of Jesus Christ. The angels appeared to the shepherds and they cried out and they said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the angels were there attending his birth. But it was not just during his birth, it was far before that. You remember when the Lord was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, that the devil quoted from the Old Testament in trying to cause Jesus and tempt him to sin, he gives a little bit of Psalm 91. And he didn't exactly get it right, but this is where he was trying to come from. Psalm 91 and verse 10, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." God gives his angels to his saints to watch over them and to protect them and to guard them. And that doesn't mean that we tempt the Lord, as Jesus told the devil. We're not to tempt the Lord. Don't do stupid things because you say, "Well, the angels are going to protect me." No, but when trouble comes, God's angels are there to watch over us. After Jesus was tempted there, the Bible says in Matthew 4:11, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus Christ himself was ministered to by the angels. Not only were the angels there in attendance to his birth and there in his life, but they are going to be with him at the end. Matthew 13:49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And again in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And so in the beginning and during his ministry and at the end of time, and even now today, the angels of God are doing the work of ministering to the people of God. At the end of his life, Jesus said in Matthew 26:53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And when they came early in the morning, on the first day of the week, as it began to dawn, it was an angel who met those ladies there in the garden at the tomb that said, he is not here, for he is risen. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1 with me, please. There are angels in heaven. But the Bible says they're angels. These angels belong to those little ones that believe on Jesus. These angels are there to minister to them. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent for to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? These angels that are there, they behold the face of God, the Father in heaven, but they're there to be ministering spirits, to be servants, to be ministers and helpers to the saints. And if you are born again, not only is God the Father there for you and with you, and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and he comes on you to empower you and fill you to do his work, but we have angels from heaven that are there to minister unto us and to help us to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, friends, but it excites me to know that God has done so much to help me live for him. So does each saint, each little one, have a guardian angel in particular? I said it already. I think it's even greater than that. We can look through the scriptures. We see Daniel in the lion's den, and the angel came and shut the lion's mouth that they did not hurt him. In 2 Kings chapter 6, if you want to look at that real quick, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. When the Syrian army came against God's people, and Elisha was there, the Bible says in 2 Kings 6 and 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? When the servant of Elisha looked out and the Syrian army was surrounding them with their chariots and their horses, he said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha said, don't be afraid, because they that are with us are more than they that be with them. You can't see them, and the enemies don't see them, but they're there, and they're more, and they're mightier than the enemy. Today we have an enemy who walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and he has great power on this earth. And a third of the angels of heaven followed him when he rebelled against God. A third of them came with him, and they have great power in this earth. But I want you to know this, that the armies of heaven, the angels of God that are ministers to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are more. Amen. And they are mightier. Amen. Than the enemy. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, who can stand against us, friends? Does each saint have a guardian angel? I know some of you have done really stupid things in your lives. Amen. Let me try that one more time. Some of you aren't being honest. I know some of you have done really stupid things in your lives. Amen. I was there for some of them. And I know some of you have come through things and you thought to yourself, oh, the Lord had an angel watching over me. Amen. Anybody ever felt like that? Amen. And some of us have joked that the Lord couldn't just give you one. He needed to give you several. Amen. Some of you have to have a pretty good squad of angels with you every time you get behind the wheel of a vehicle. I'm not trying to say any names tonight, but I think you know who you are. I'm here to tell you that we can joke about that all we want, but I believe with all my heart that God sends his angels to watch over us and to help us and to protect us. It's amazing to me, and talking to people just in the last couple of weeks and trying to share the gospel with different people, I've been amazed at people who don't seem to be believers at all. I really don't think they're genuinely born again. They've said from their own mouth, I know I'm not saved, but many of them have said to me, I know that there's a God in heaven because he's brought me through so much. Even though they've never repented of their sin, even though they've never trusted in Christ, even though they still live in their unbelief of Jesus, they're not saved, there's still something in them. They know that they're alive today because God has brought them through. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And friend, if you know there's a God in heaven and you know he's brought you through so much, shouldn't you trust in him with all your heart? Shouldn't you give your life to follow him? I want you to notice this about those angels. They're their angels, and they do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Notice their proximity to the Father. They do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Friends, these angels are holy angels. You know what makes something holy? It's holy because it belongs to God. It's holy because it's in the presence of God. These angels always behold the face of the Father. Now, what kind of angels these are, I don't know. The Bible describes many different kinds of angels, but in Revelation 4 and verse 8, the Bible says the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. These angels are in the very presence of the throne room of God, and they spend their time in nothing else but to praise the name of God and cry out, holy, holy, holy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the thrice holy God, and day and night they cry out and worship him. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw the seraphim there. Above the throne of God stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. These angels are in the very presence of the throne of God. These angels are holy angels, and they're close to the Father, and they worship the Father, and they are there night and day. But they're not just there to worship the Lord. Notice their preparedness for the Father. These angels are ministering angels. These angels are there to watch over these little ones and take heed that you despise not these little ones, because their angels are in the presence of the Father in heaven, beholding his face night and day, and those angels are there to watch out for these little ones. Do you understand what the Lord is saying? He's speaking to his own disciples, and he's saying, you better be careful. Don't despise these little children. Don't despise these new believers, because they've got angels in heaven that are there to watch out for them. And you better be careful that you are not an offense to one of these little ones. Do you understand that God is warning his disciples, because the angels of God are there to protect and to watch out for those little ones that believe on him? He's giving a warning to us. Ezekiel 1 and verse 14. If you ever just want to be awestruck and maybe a little confused, read Ezekiel 1, or just the whole book. But Ezekiel describes the throne of God, the chariot throne of God, and it's an amazing description that he gives. But in that description, he talks about these living creatures, I believe are angels, and it says the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. I mean, these angels of God are just zipping around like lightning, doing what God has called them to do. And they behold his face, but I want you to get it, they're like the servant watching the king's hand, that they're watching, and when you study that, watching the king's hand as a servant doesn't mean that they're waiting for a handout. It means they're waiting for him to send them here or to send them there. And these angels are beholding the face of God, just waiting for their instruction. They're worshiping him, but they're ready to work for him. And they work for him by ministering to us. What a loving Father we have in heaven. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I've seen a lot of men a little bit afraid to talk too much about angels because people get a little weird when you talk about angels. People start worrying more about their guardian angel than they do about the Lord himself. People get so focused on their guardian angels and studying about angels and wondering about angels and all of these different mysteries that we don't understand, and they get so wrapped up in that that they forget about Jesus. I want to help you out. Jesus spoke the angels into existence. He created them and he made them ministers of fire and flame, and he made them ministers to worship him for his glory, but also he made them for our good. These angels in heaven, friend, don't worship them. Don't get so wrapped up in them that you forget about Jesus. Understand that he created them for his glory, and he created them for our good, and they are ministers, and the angels are desiring to look into the things that we understand today. That the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than all the host of heaven above. That's how much your Savior loves you. This evening, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. While our musicians are coming, would you stand with me, please? I pray tonight you'd be encouraged. When Jesus was tempted, he had gone 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking anything, and the devil came and took him and tempted him over and over and over yet again. And yet Jesus did not sin, but in the midst of that, at the end of that, he was tired and he was weary and he was worn down physically and mentally and spiritually, and the angels came and they ministered to him. I want you to know something tonight. Maybe you're going through a struggle, a trial, a difficulty. Maybe you're going through some storm. The angels of God will come and minister to you if you'll look to God. He will send his angels to comfort you, to help you, to strengthen you. And what a blessing it is to know that not only do we have Christ as our Savior, not only do we have the Spirit of God living in us, we have the very angels from the throne room of God who come and minister to us. Like flashes of lightning, they come and go and do the Lord's bidding. What an awesome God we serve. What an incredible thing to know the thoughts and the love that he has for us. I pray you'd rejoice in that tonight, and I'd pray that if you've got a burden tonight, a decision you need to make for Christ, that you'd humble yourself tonight in the face of his great love for you, you'd come and follow him tonight. Let's sing. Page 5.